The logistics of disaster. We'll hear firsthand from a hard-hit province in the Philippines.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A much weakened storm made landfall in Vietnam today, causing widespread power outages, but nothing close to the devastation the super typhoon left across the Philippines, where rescue workers continue to search through debris and to dig through mud looking for victims. In the city of Tacloban, the condition of roads and airports is making relief efforts difficult. Let's turn to the BBC's Alastair Leithhead, who is across the water in a separate province called Cebu. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there.
Alastair, are you seeing signs that relief supplies are beginning to get through?
Not to this area. We've come up to the island of Cebu. We flew into Cebu City. It's quite an eerie scene at the moment. You can hear the dog barking in the house across the road from where I am. It's all in darkness. Everything is in complete darkness. All the power has gone here. The only light's coming from a little bit of moon and the orange glow from the fires that people are burning in bins or in pits outside their homes. That kind of sets a sort of silhouettes of these palm trees that have clearly been battered by the very high winds that came through here. Other trees completely stripped of their leaves. There's debris all around the floors here, piles of metal and wood from the houses that were destroyed that people are already trying to clear up.
Now, we hear there's more bad weather on the way later this week, so presumably there is an acute need for shelter for people who've lost everything, including their houses.
Well, there will be, certainly, for those people who have lost their home. The last thing they need is more high winds and more heavy rain. This is a vast area that's been affected by this super typhoon. And we're talking 4.5 million people have been affected in some way, shape or form is what the government is saying here. The supplies from aid agencies and governments all over the world are flooding in, both the logistical challenge of getting those supplies to the people who need them most is quite overwhelming. A lot of aircraft cannot land in these remote areas. The airstrips are a long distance away from the where people need the help the most. But that's the challenge that they're facing. That's what they have to do to try and help people.
The BBC's Alastair Leithhead is in Cebu Province in the Philippines. Alastair, thank you.
Thanks very much.
That followed the shock to the U.S. economic and political system caused by the government shutdown and brinksmanship over the federal debt ceiling, we have been following the money on this program. Many business leaders were not happy with the way things played out, and a way to convey that dissatisfaction is by changing how they write checks for campaign causes and candidates. Marketplace's David Gura has this update.
Greg Casey runs one of the oldest political action committees in Washington, the Business Industry PAC, or BIPAC. It's been around since 1963. Casey says there's a lesson to be learned here. Businesses need to evaluate candidates more carefully.
If they come in and they just want to blow the system up rather than make the system work, then you need to probably support somebody else.
Casey is telling BIPAC's members they should support candidates who want to make Washington less dysfunctional. And we're already seeing that. Sheila Krumholtz is the executive director of the Center for Responsive Politics. That's a group that tracks campaign contributions. Krumholtz says business groups are giving money before the general election to candidates who are challenging incumbents. In the Washington way of speaking, to challenge someone is to primary him.
Business groups are now saying that they want to primary Tea Party candidates instead of being primaried by the Tea Party.
We saw this last week in Alabama. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce backed the more moderate of two candidates in a runoff election, and he won.
So already, they seem to be putting their money where their mouth is.
The Chamber of Commerce spent about $200,000 on that campaign. The business community's discontent is giving rise to new PACs and super PACs in Washington. Former Congressman Steve LaTourette started one called Defending Main Street.
Well, what we're going to do as we go into 2014 is our little group is going to support center-right candidates who are interested in governing.
Defending Main Street held a fundraiser last week on Wall Street. LaTourette hopes to raise at least $8 million to back more business-friendly candidates. Greg Casey, the CEO of BIPAC, says the Tea Party movement's success should be a wake-up call to business.
they have allowed themselves to be small and increasingly smaller players or checkbooks to one candidate or another.
And that, Casey says, has to change. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And you know about controlled burns, the sometimes controversial practice of setting forests on fire on purpose to prevent wildfires in the future. Well, starting today, a controlled flood will roll through the Grand Canyon, then downstream. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation is trying to flush out silt and sand from the Colorado River. The flushing will go on for 5 days. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.